I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley. This sounds good. Neil, thanks for being on the show.
Happy to be here, Tracy.
When last we spoke about the Racer football team, they were in pretty good shape. They were 4-2 and had a little bit of a stumble the last three games. 1-2 coming into our conversation today ahead of Saturday's game against Eastern Illinois. So let's go back to the SEMO game. Lost it in three overtimes, 37-34.
Yeah, that was really a brutal game, and I think there's still after effects from that game. The Racers were flying high, and Southeast Missouri comes in. They hadn't won a game. They're 0-5 at that point, and really looked kind of dire for them. They've been struggling at quarterback. They just scored a handful of touchdowns on the season. In fact, Walter Powell had more touchdowns scored than Southeast Missouri did going into that game. So, you know, you figure get some points on the board, things that go well. With that was a day when it really didn't go particularly well in the first half for the Racers. They got behind, but they were able to battle back and take the lead. Things look good. They're driving down the field final few minutes of the game with a 7-point lead. Made a great pass to get, I think, inside the 30-yard line, or inside the 20, actually. And you figure, run a couple more plays, kick a field goal, go up by 10. This game's over. Instead, they decided to pass, and the ball's intercepted near the goal line. But still, you think, all right, still up by 7, and SEMO doesn't have a great offense. All their touchdowns had been long drives that took a lot of time. Well, sure enough, their quarterback engineers them downfield in just a couple of minutes, and they tie it. So it ends up going to overtime. And the Racers, in the second overtime, they force a turnover against Southeast Missouri. So all you got to do is get a field goal, you win the game. And the Racers fumbled it. And that was the end of the second overtime. Third overtime, the Racers missed a field goal. SEMO scores, and they lost that one. And it seemed like the after effects from that carried over even into the Austin Peay game. Kind of a sluggish game overall, but the Racers did prevail. They put the points on Austin Peay in the second half. But, you know, fans, I know it was a homecoming game. Fans were happy with the win, but they just looked a little bit out of sync even in that game against Austin Peay. And it just continued even into this past week, Tracy.
And the UT Martin loss really hurt, especially jockeying for OVC position.
Sure did. Each team was in a spot where they really couldn't afford to lose. Now, Martin in a worse spot because they already had two OVC losses, a third, and they're done. They're not going anywhere. The Racers had the one against SEMO. And the teams on paper very evenly matched. The Martin not as prolific offensively last year, just like the Racers, but they'd improved defensively this season, as had the Racers, to what they were last year. So on paper, this looks good. The Racers get out to a 14-0 lead. They're able to get a touchdown in the end zone on a fumble. T-Ray Malone falls on it. The Racers up 7-0. They bounce back with a 26-yard touchdown run from Jamal Berry. It's 14-0. Things are going well, but UT Martin adjusts. They take advantage of a Mikhail Miller turnover, turn that into points. They get another touchdown, then a field goal, but the Racers able to get a Jordan Benton field goal as time expires in the second quarter, so 17-all. So things still looking okay. Regroup, even get down to, I think, about the 8-minute mark of the third quarter. It's a very even game, and within about a 3-minute span, Martin reels off two touchdowns, one of those, again, taking advantage of a Racer turnover, and it's just like you see these inflatables kids are in. If you stick a pin in it, it would just deflate. That's sort of what happened to the team from that point. They seemed to really lose their confidence overall. Racers even went to a different quarterback. They tried Parks Frazier back there to maybe get a spark. He did a couple of good things, but all in all, it turned out to be a loss. And, I mean, Martin, you know, they poured it on with a 45-17 win, much deserving for them, and leaves these Racers scratching their heads heading into a stretch run that has three of the top teams in the OVC lying ahead of them.
As of right now, it's actually the three top teams in the OVC. And I guess if there is a bright side to the situation, it's that two of those three games are at Stewart Stadium, where the Racers are undefeated this year, including Saturday's game against the 5-0 in the OVC Eastern Illinois team. So what are the chances of a Racer victory Saturday?
Well, Eastern Illinois is a fabulous team. They're not a good OVC team. They are a great OVC team. The only time they've been challenged early in the season, they won in double overtime against Southern Illinois. But since then, they really played well. The only game they lost was to a top 20 bowl division team, Northern Illinois. They were up on them 20-0 to start the game. and NIU had to rally in the final minute to win by 3 points. That's the only time they've really been challenged other than just those two games. They've rolled over people ever since. I know SEMO put 33 on them. Don't read too much into that. The starters had already been pulled when the points were piling up in the end, so that was a thumping as well. And they've been good. Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback, who actually saw his first action against the Racers as a guy who came in for an injured quarterback. So I remember we're licking our chops that day thinking, oh, good, here's this young kid coming in. This would be an easy day. The Racers did win that day, but you could see right away he was going to be special. He has Eric Laura, who's a record-setting receiver. But the thing that's really impressive about East Illinois from last year to this year is how much they've improved defensively in 1 year. They're really good defensively. They're big. They're pretty fast. Now, the Racers, to say they don't have a chance, they do have a chance, but they'll have to play one of their better games. They'll have to play much better offensively than they did against Tennessee Martin. And this is a team they can't afford to get 14 points behind early, because that's when Eastern Illinois is at their best. They get you down early. They can roll over you. They're not the second-ranked team in the nation without a reason. There is a reason. They are very good across the board from special teams. They really, at the FCS level, they simply just don't have a weakness.
So this is really a chance, if nothing else, for Racer fans to see one of the truly elite teams in the country here in Murray.
Sure can. I mean, I can't remember the last time I did a game at Stewart Stadium with a team this highly ranked coming in. I remember as a kid, Western Kentucky coming in when they were still in the OVC, they were top ranked sometime back in the early 80s. They were the number one team, final game of the season. The Racers beat them 49-0. So that just shows you what can happen when a top-ranked team comes in if the magic of Stewart Stadium is kicking in. But it'll take a great effort by the Racers. They'll have to play well defensively, win the turnover battle. And whoever the quarterback is, it's kind of open for competition this week, but we'll know by Saturday whether it'll be Parks Frazier or Mikhail Miller. They're going to have a special day. If they can do those things, they'll have a chance to pull off a big upset.
Well, let's turn over to Racer basketball now, because their season's about to tip off against Valparaiso. Let's have a thumbnail of what the team looks like on the edge of the season starting.
Sure. Actually, this afternoon, I'll be on the bus with them. We're leaving for Valparaiso for the game that tips off on Friday night. But the Racers, we'll go back just one step. Zay Jackson announcing that he was going to transfer. He'd been injured. He wasn't going to play this season anyway. But what that did is leave just a clean slate for Cameron Payne. He knows he's the point guard. He's the guy, at least until T.J. Sapp comes along. And if Payne does well enough, they'll just play Sapp somewhere else at the two guard, and he'll back up Payne a little bit. But Cameron Payne is going to be the guy. He's a special player. You never know when the next great Racer has come along. I mean, when Isaiah Cannon showed up, we didn't know it. Marcus Brown showed up, no idea. Popeye Jones shows up, 50-something pounds overweight. If you told me his freshman year, he's going to be the next great, I would have laughed at you. So you never know. But I tell you, I got a feeling this might be one of the next greats. Payne, he's a Memphis player. He's toughened from playing there. Mr. Basketball in Tennessee in his classification. Smart kid. Shoots the ball pretty well. Can assist. He's an assist machine. Seems like the kind of guy that'd rather get the assist than anything else. And doesn't make many mistakes. So he leads the team. The Racers have one senior. That's Dexter Fields. Dexter's going to have a special season, but when he shoots the ball well, he's very valuable. He's a solid defender. He'll need to do well. I think Jeffrey Moss, who got significant playing time last year, he's going to be a key starter this year. He's really shooting the ball well here in the early going, Tracy. But the keys to success, I think, for this team, if Cameron Payne comes along well, will be the inside guys and Jonathan Farrell and Jarvis Williams. 6'8 and 6'7. One can really run the floor. Then Farrell's your big bull guy on the inside that doesn't let anybody get past him. The bench may be a little thin until Sapp arrives. But I think Zay Henderson and Taron Gilmore will provide some good size inside. C.J. Forge looked pretty good in a backup role at point guard, so I like what we're getting from him. And Tyler Rambo's kind of been a surprise in what we've seen from last year to this year. He's really shown a lot of improvement, and I think he can help the team. You know, early on, losing Zay Jackson, you think this could be a team that might put that consecutive winning season streak in jeopardy. But after seeing them recently, I actually don't think that'll happen. I think they're going to be a surprisingly good team by the time the OVC rolls around.
The voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley, thanks for being on Sounds Good.
Glad to be here.